Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, this is Stephen A. Smith from No Mercy. Festivals, football, flannels. Some say fall is their favorite time of year. And this fall, there are now updated COVID-19 booster shots designed to help protect against COVID-19 variants. If you've had your primary series, schedule an updated COVID-19 booster shot appointment as soon as you're eligible. And don't forget to enjoy the foliage, sponsored by Pfizer and BioNTech.
Yelton, we have a podcast.
Diving deep into all things Texas, both on and off the field. Here's Sean Pendergast and Pro Football Hall of Famer, the General, Sean McClain. Welcome to Utopia.
Hey, everybody. Welcome in the Utopia Football Podcast. It is week 13. It is Deshaun Watson week. That is coming up on Sunday. The Browns coming to NRG Stadium. Our first look at Deshaun Watson in a regular season game in a Cleveland uniform is going to come at the stadium where he has played every other home game of his NFL career against the team that he's played every game for in his NFL career up until now, the Houston Texans. As I welcome you in, Sean Pendergast, one half of Payne and Pendergast in the mornings on Sports Radio 610. Alongside the Hall of Famer, my good friend John McClain. He's also our senior Texans columnist at sportsradio610.com and also gallerysports.com. John, it's funny. I was asked, we'll get to the mailbag, by the way, in just a second here, houmailbag@gmail.com if you guys want to take down that address for future mailbags. We were talking to Ross Tucker this morning on our show, and he asked me and Seth, he's like, so what's the buzz like for Deshaun coming there? Because Ross lives near Philly. And he said, man, if this was Philly, like, people would be talking about how much they're going to boo him and what they're going to throw at him and all these other things. And I told Ross, I said, I think the fact that the Texans are so bad right now and that everybody is kind of focused on Lovie Smith has skewed some of the attention away from Deshaun Watson. How do you feel about the vibe coming into this game this weekend?
I would have said, Ross, you live in Philly. I live in Houston. We're talking about baseball champions of the that beat the Phillies. So now we're not talking about football. I agree 100%. I've had two Cleveland talk shows. Good friend of mine, Tony Grossi, picked my brain for 30 minutes today. He said, up here, they're talking about protests down there. I said, well, if they do, I haven't heard it. I said, there's no buzz whatsoever about Watson. People have taken the Texans have taken the fun out of football for a lot of fans, and they're just kind of ho-hum. I said, it'll be like it was with Washington and Philadelphia. There'll be as many Browns fans in there as Texans fans. But the Texans fans who are there, they'll boo Watson. But I don't hear anybody getting a good mad on for Deshaun Watson. I was at lunch yesterday with six friends of mine who are diehard Texans fans, and all we did was talk about the Astros and Jose Abreu, very little talk about the Texans and Watson, and that's the way I feel about it. If they were competitive and I thought they had a prayer, I might be more interested. But to me, I just look at it as another decisive loss and another nail in the coffin for Lovie Smith.
Yeah, and I think I'm glad you mentioned Lovie Smith there, John. And trust me, we've got plenty of Lovie questions in the mailbag. The mailbag is almost all Lovie Smith and Bryce Young, the different angles on all of it. This might be one, John, I have to imagine that the team inside the building over there, I'm not talking about the players. There's hardly any players left that even suited up with Deshaun. But in the front office, ownership, things like that, I'm sure that they've had this Cleveland game circled for a long, long time since the schedule came out and Deshaun's suspension was finalized. Getting embarrassed by Deshaun Watson and the Cleveland Browns, as we're talking about nails in Lovey's coffin, I don't think they're going to fire him during the season, but he may seal his fate this weekend. This is a game of all the games that I think this franchise wants to win from between now and the end of the year. If they could pick one, I think it would be this one.
As someone who's known the McNairs well for years, they're not that kind of people. You know, they're so disappointed right now. They want to win a game. They don't care who it's over. They want to win. Of course, they want to beat the Browns. Of course, they want to beat Deshaun, but they're not obsessed with it as some did, some could be. It's been so long since all that happened. You know, they look at what they got in the trade and what they're trying to put it toward. Yes, they want to win this game more than any other game on the schedule, but as far as it being the final nail, no. I think they get embarrassed. I think Lovey's gone, and there's no extra nail that'll go in the coffin, but because they're so bad, and they're such an embarrassment to the organization, and I expect it to be more of the same. If you know, this is going to be like a joint practice for Watson. You know, he can't come out and start throwing it all over the field. They're a running team first. They're going to run Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt against the NFL's worst run defense because that's what they do. They'll let Watson throw some from the pocket, let him throw running right and left, let him get back to doing the things that he did well here before they start playing for real.
All right, let's get into some of the mailbag questions, John. And we've got Jose Abreu mailbag questions in here, so we will mix
good.
In a little bit of Astros talk. Yeah, absolutely. But it's a lot of Bryce Young, and it's a lot of Lovie Smith, and it's a lot of draft talk. That's how this season has gone so far. So let's start with this one. This is from Ben on Twitter. So it's not to the mailbag. This is a Twitter question that I pulled off to put into the mailbag because I think it's an interesting one. Do you think Bryce Young's agent will try to deter the Texans from drafting him?
Absolutely not. Everybody wants to be the first pick to get more money. That'd be stupid to do something like that. And they can point, hey, when we had a good quarterback, we won four division titles in 5 years. We won two playoff games. So, no, that's never going to happen. And it might not be Bryce Young. When the scouting is all said and done, what happened in college doesn't mean squat. The only thing they look at is what they did in the practices before the Senior Bowl. What do they do in the All-Star game? Practices, not the games. What do they do at the combine? What do they do at pro days, private workouts, dinners and lunches? All of a sudden, what they did in college, and they never admit this, has very little to do with how a quarterback is rated. Bryce Young could be number one, could be C.J. Stroud. I saw one the other day from a guy that I respected who scouted forever and has Bryce Young third and Will Levis number two. And you say, well, Will Levis, he had a bad year at Kentucky. Well, he did, but sometimes they don't care. They look at what they're looking for in a quarterback and they say, hey, we put weapons around him. We give him better coaching. He'll be a better player. And but what we think, and I want Bryce Young, I use him all the time. I put an imaginary, tweeted an imaginary conversation with Caserio calling him, and then Caserio's number was blocked. But no, agents are not going to do that. The only time that's been done, Archie Manning did not want Eli playing for A.J. Smith, the general manager at the Chargers. Yeah. And so he orchestrated getting him out of there. And then John Elway did not want to play for Frank Cush, who was the coach at Baltimore, had come from Arizona State and had a reputation as the toughest, hardest working coach in the league, and he wanted to go anywhere else. So, no, you don't have that happen in franchises. Guys love being the first overall pick.
They do. Okay, let me ask you this. Let's flip that on its head. This is not a mailbag question. This is a follow-up for me. Do you think if Bryce Young were to sign with David Mulugeta, do you think that matters to the Texans?
Absolutely not. I'll guarantee you, though, they wouldn't put a no trade clause in that contract.
Well, they can't. There's a rookie deal.
Well, that's good.
Yeah,
that's good. You're right. They can't, but they wouldn't put one if he's good, and they got to negotiate another one.
Okay. Well, yeah, it's becoming the norm.
You know, when they threw that no trade clause in there,
yeah,
you say, okay, he's my guy. Oh, yeah, I want a no trade clause. Okay, no problem.
We're right, fine. Right. Thanks, Jack.
And I wonder, looking back, if they knew there was some issues, and there could be some issues. I always wonder what behind the scenes, what did Mulligetta and Watson know at the time they issued the trade demand, which would have been in January?
Well, Deshaun knew when he signed that contract in September of 2020 that he had met with at least 40 or 50 massage therapists at that point. He was well into his massage fetish at that point, so I wonder if he ever thought that would come to the light of day, everything that was happening in there.
I'm guessing he didn't, since it hadn't.
Yep. Follow-up from pharmacist Glenn in the email bag. Any chance if we pick Bryce Young with the number one pick, would he want to bring his college offensive coordinator with him?
Yeah. I'm told he and Bill O'Brien get along really well. Watson,
I'm sure.
Love Bill O'Brien. Spoke out for him when we'd ask Bill if he thought he was going to be fired. And Watson would tweet immediately and about OB and how much he liked him. But I don't think that's going to happen, Glenn.
I don't either. But John, I have another follow-up. And again, this is one I pulled from our text page on the show today, because there were some good things about this Bryce Young stuff.
So I told you guys before about my introduction to Liquid Death. It came from my wife, Amy. I told you about that. She's a kindergarten teacher. And one day she sends me a picture from school. She's drinking out of a big tall boy can, almost trolling me. And I'm like, don't drink at school. You can't get fired. We need your income. Stop drinking alcohol at school. She said, it's not alcohol. It's Liquid Death. It's delicious mountain spring water. That was my first story. So then I decided that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to bring Liquid Death with me wherever I go, especially places where you're not supposed to drink. And that messes with people. Not only does the water taste great, but you mess with people. So now I bring it into the press box at football games. Sir, you can't drink that. I say, no. Yes, I can. This is Liquid Death, a new brand of mountain spring water from the Alps, and it comes in still, sparkling, and three different flavors. That's what I tell security. I give them the Liquid Death sales pitch because it's awesome. So now you're probably wondering, why do they call it Liquid Death? Well, because it will brutally murder your thirst, and the tall, recyclable aluminum cans, their signature, are raining death upon those plastic bottles. They say the plastic is recyclable, but most of the time they just wind up clogging landfills. That's true. So Liquid Death, helping the environment as well. Besides, doesn't water taste better when it's ice cold? And it stays colder in those tall boy cans, Liquid Death does. I'm getting thirsty just talking about Liquid Death, so what do I do? You know what I do. I crack one right now, and I give it an old chug. And you should get on the Liquid Death train as well. Mess with people at work while you're drinking water. More importantly, quench your thirst. Get your hands on some Liquid Death today at your local 7-Eleven, Kroger, or Target. Or find a Liquid Death retailer near you on their store locator. It's liquiddeath.com/Hutopia. That's H-O-U-topia. liquiddeath.com/Hutopia. It is Liquid Death.
Texter pointed out that Bryce Young plays for O'Brien now. What do you think O'Brien is telling him about the Texans organization?
I think that he would tell them when Cal McNair took over for the dad, when the last year before Bob died, Cal was ahead of everything. They went 11-5. They lost to the Colts in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Next year, they won the division. They beat Buffalo. And is he going to say, well, it all started going downhill when they named me general manager? You know, I think Bill's most likely things he would say negative about would be the Houston media.
Hmm. Yeah, that rough and tumble Houston.
He used to get so mad at the media. Here.
Yeah.
And it wasn't because of what was written. It was he didn't like questions about clock management. He didn't talk to me for about half of a season when I asked him about why he didn't call a timeout at the end of a game at New England when Brady threw the winning touchdown pass to Brandon Cooks. He should have called a timeout. He got so mad. Coaches hate it when you question clock management, which is one reason Todd Bowles is getting rep because he was terrible clock management for the Bucks, and then Jeff Saturday was atrocious.
Yeah. If I had to guess, John, I would think if Bryce Young were to go to Bill O'Brien and say, what do you think of the Texans organization? I think two things positively. One is I don't think Bill can say that the Texans treated him unfairly, for one.
No, he wouldn't say that.
And I'm not saying he would, but I'm saying I think he would say they treat, you know, like I failed. You know, I became the GM. I was not a good GM. I don't know if he would say that, but I think he would just probably from 30,000 feet say, I was treated fairly by them. I got fired by them, but I was treated fairly by them. I think number two is that the Texans right now, if you're saying who are the Texans, if you have to pick a person, the person, especially in the view of Bryce Young, is probably Nick Caserio, who, from what I hear, Bill O'Brien and Nick Caserio still have a good relationship. So
they're very close.
Yeah, I would guess that, and I know the spirit of that text is that people want to think that Bill O'Brien's going to trash the Texans if Bryce Young talks to him. I would say, one, he probably wouldn't. Two, it doesn't matter. It's a draft. The Texans can – it's not like Bill O'Brien says bad things and then the Texans can't take him. They're still going to take him if they like him, right?
Because he likes Bryce Young and respects him and thinks he's a great prospect, I think he would say all the right things.
Yeah.
And O'Brien knows he wasn't treated unfairly. Mm-hmm. He knows that the McNairs gave him everything he wanted. And then he started, what, 0-4, 0-4? Or was it 0-5? I can't even remember.
It was 0-4 in 2020. Is that what you're talking
about?
He
also knows Jack Easterby backstabbed him to help get rid of him.
And, yeah. So
I think that he would tell him good things about Caserio and putting players around him.
Yes. It would be a much more interesting conversation between O'Brien and Bryce Young if Jack Easterby were still in the building, right?
Yeah.
That would be more fun. All right, let's get to the next one. Jerry in Garden Oaks says, whose idea was it to handle the quarterback replacement the way that Lovie did last week? And I'm assuming what he's referring to, John, is the playing coy on Wednesday, the strategic advantage, and then the news leaks anyways 5 minutes later, and the whole thing looks like a big clown show. He wants to know, whose idea was it to handle the quarterback situation that way?
It's always Lovie Smith. Lovie has total control over the news conferences. Caserio, he's doing personnel with his personnel people. James Lipford, he doesn't talk to Lovie about what are you going to say, what are you not going to say. That's not the way they do it. As soon as Lovie started talking, I tweeted, Kyle Allen will start against Miami. Then Mike Garofalo tweets it three minutes later, and it goes all over the country.
Were you guessing, John, just based on
– No, I wasn't guessing. I don't guess when I say something definitive.
Yeah.
I didn't say could. I didn't say anything. I'd been saying that, and then as soon as he started talking, I said, Kyle Allen will start in Miami because I knew he was. I was just waiting to see how Lovie was going to handle it. So the way that was botched, that was all Lovie.
Yeah. Okay. Do you think Lovie learned anything from that, John? Or do you think we're going to continue to get kind of the – I mean, Lovie has not graded out well on press conferences the last few weeks.
No, he has not. And I checked with a friend in Chicago when he was the coach there to see if – and they said he was that way with them.
Okay.
He would get snippy and condescending when he didn't like the questions. And I think this – and I would tell him if – in fact, I may write this – don't give – the McNairs more ammunition to fire you, except for your record and the way the team's playing. Don't do it because you're in a constant war with the media. Floyd Reese, longtime general manager of the Oilers and Titans, told me one time, I had to learn the hard way, you can't win a war with the media because they buy their ink by the barrel. I said, well, that's close. That's newspapers. But he said, you just can't win that war. And every coach that's been fired here, Dom Capers, Gary Kubiak, Bill O'Brien, when they were fired, and David Culley, the media was blasting them constantly on talk shows and the Chronicle, saying they needed to be gone. Now, I don't think anything's going to change with Lovie. I don't think anybody's going to change their mind that they think he should be fired. But you don't want to give the McNairs because they should only do what they and Nick Caserio think is right. If they think Lovie deserves a second season because they know things that we don't, then keep him. You don't do anything because of what the fans and the media say. You got to do what you believe. And I think that the ultimate decider will be Caserio, and then the McNairs will sign off on whatever he wants to do.
What do you make of Cal McNair supposedly being in the interview room when Lovey did his press conference on Sunday? I say supposedly he was. There's people that were in that interview room said he was in there. What do you make of Cal being in attendance at Lovey's press conference after the loss to the Dolphins?
He has his son with him because his son wanted to see what it was like to go into a post-game press conference.
Really?
Yeah.
I'd love to know what his son thought.
Yeah, he probably thought the same thing everybody else did.
Oh, man. All right, John. Hey, our friend Rick Tindall sent an email in, John.
Good.
Said member of the card carrying member of the posse, right?
Yes, he is.
Yep. First time emailer, longtime listener, and lifetime posse member, he says. Assuming the Texans clean house, is it time to consider D'Amico Ryans as a head coach? Would he be a fit with Caserio's vision? I'll hang up and listen, is what Rick says.
I don't think that D'Amico, after being a coordinator for 2 years, would insist on having total control of personnel, although Kyle Shanahan does. But Kyle had a lot of pelts on the wall as a coordinator, quarterback coach, that D'Amico doesn't have. If they offered D'Amico a 5-year contract and a lot of money and a lot of draft choices and a new quarterback, but made him understand Caserio has final say, then Nick would work with him. And I know D'Amico loved it in Houston. People say, well, because he sued the Texans, would they not be interested in him? No, there's not. The McNairs are not vindictive. And I think if they thought he was the best candidate, they'd do it. And then the key would be for him to get a really good offensive coordinator who's proven, and then somebody who is a proven play caller, or someone like Mike McDaniel was on that staff, and he'd been with Kyle Shanahan here and almost everywhere Kyle had been. They like finish each other's sentences, somebody like that. But it has to be, you know, Pep Hamilton is just, I think, doing a terrible job with this offense, with the play calling. It just quarterbacks, it's just terrible. And so they would have to spend a lot of money to get a really good guy to work on that side of the ball for D'Amico.
Do you think Pep makes it out of this year? Do you think he gets fired before the end of the season?
No, I don't think he'd get fired. I think if they were going to do something, this is what I've been writing and saying for 2 weeks, give the play call to somebody like Ben McDaniels, anybody else, because it can't be any worse. The game off of the handoff to Dario Gumbawale for 1 yard, and then trying to throw a pass to Laremy Tunsil. And we never know if he caught it because it was a bad pass, but just the call itself, you don't need to do that. And then I think that he wouldn't be fired because because his buddy Ted White's coaching the quarterbacks with him. So I think, and Lovey says he's not going to do it. He's adamant. And so that could help take him down.
All right. Next one. Justin Van Sant emails in and says, how the roster sits today, do you feel better where the Texans are as a roster compared to this point last year? So not their record, John. They're obviously, I think they're going to finish with a worse record than last year, but do you feel better about where the Texans are roster-wise than you did this time last year?
Absolutely. They didn't have first or second round picks. They didn't have money spent on free agents. They still haven't, but I believe in Stingley and Petrie and Nico Collins and a lot of those guys. You know, none of those guys other than Nico is playing as well as he did last year.
No.
You know, Garrett Wallow, I thought he's going to do better. He's a healthy scratch, and I'm not sure exactly what the reason is for that. Christian Harris is hurt again. He was hurt early. But, yeah, I feel better about him. I think Kenyon Green has flashed enough to make me think when he's on a weight program throughout the offseason and has a full offseason with the Texans and a coaching staff, he's going to be good. But right now, when they've gone up against two defensive lines loaded with number six the last two games, and then Raekwon Davis, a second-round pick on the nose for Miami, and they've just been abused in the running game. And the Lions showed so much promise before. But right now, yes, I feel better about it knowing that they got all those picks coming, including the 2 ones that would be 1 and 10 right now if the draft were today. I feel much better about it.
I feel better about the roster, but it's in a way where I feel like I feel better about my garden having just planted some seeds. I haven't seen any of the fruit or the vegetables come up yet from what I've planted. I'm like, okay, well, Last year, I didn't have any seeds. I just had a big patch of dirt. At least now I've got some seeds this year. Now we'll see if they get water and they get sun and they grow up. Like, I feel better that players exist that I want to have hope about. I just can't, especially with Dameon Pierce now rushing for 8 yards in each of the last two games, John, I can't think of a single rookie who's moving forward right now. You know what I mean? Like, who's in the last, you know, whose trajectory is pointed up right now. I feel great about Pierce.
Petrie hadn't missed a tackle. He had an interception taken away because of a penalty. And Stingley's not giving up a touchdown. I keep reading it and tweeting that thing all the time that the Rookie Watch, a website, puts out about him. And they keep putting up all these positive things about Stingley and Sauce Gardner and Woolen at Seattle. And so I feel good about Stingley. And let's see, I felt good about Christian Harris till he got hurt again. And I saw enough of Kenyon Green against lesser defensive linemen as a power blocker for the run. And then Pierce, his problem's not Pierce. He has -6 yards before he's been hit in the last two games. It's all the offensive line can't block anymore for some reason.
Yeah, no, I'm oversimplifying the Pierce part of it. Obviously, I think he's a delightful player, but it's just, it sucks to watch. It sucks to watch him rush for 8 yards in two games.
No kidding. Think about how it sucks for him.
No, I know. All right. John, just mixing in one outside of the Texans here, Dave in Buffalo. He likes the podcast. He's a loyal listener. He wants to get your take on whether or not the Bills are still a favorite to get to the Super Bowl or win the Super Bowl with a banged up Josh Allen, Von Miller being out, and Sean McDermott showing his ass a little bit on some game management stuff.
It's amazing, isn't it, how many coaches have problems with game management, clock management. Like, you would think Jeff Saturday had somebody up in the booth saying, Jeff, call timeout right now. Right now, call timeout. And I used to hear O'Brien did, but he didn't listen to him. He was going to do what he was going to do. I would hire a former official, or I would hire somebody to be in my ear to tell me not just clock management, but – you know, when to take a timeout. You know, somebody that had a lot of experience, a head coach that never had issues like that. And I think this, Kansas City's best team in the AFC. I'd love to see him play again. Josh Allen's playing hurt. I thought two games ago they had great running. They had about 173 yards, and Allen had maybe 8 or 10. Thought they'd turn the corner with James Cook. But they're still good. They're dangerous. Got talent on both sides of the ball. I'd still love to see them play Kansas City. Now, I think if Miami were to get home field advantage and everybody played down in the great weather, Miami would be a legitimate Super Bowl contender. But right now, to me, I'm going with the Chiefs.
All right. Matthew Cavazos, John, says, you have the keys to the franchise, and you've just cleaned up a huge mess from the previous regime. So you have all the cap money and all the picks. What do you pick with the number one pick in 2023 to rebuild the franchise, offense or defense? I think I know your answer to this, so I have an actual follow-up, but go ahead.
You got to take a quarterback if you believe there's a quarterback worth taking. You can fill in those other positions. You still got like 11 more picks. You got 10 picks the year after. You got money in free agency. You have to get the quarterback. And people say, well, a lot of those top quarterbacks bomb out. Yeah, but a lot of them don't. Peyton Manning, Andrew Luck, John Elway. There's been great quarterbacks taken first overall. That's the position you have to get. You have to find somebody who can do for this franchise what Deshaun Watson did.
Real quick, as a follow-up to that, forget about the picks in the draft for a second, because Nick is going to have a ton of money to spend in free agency. Is there a particular position or position group you would spend money on veterans for on this team?
Defensive line.
Okay.
Defensive line. They got to get people who can stop the run.
You can fix that quick.
A tackle to play next to Malik Collins.
Yep.
Jonathan Grenard's been hurt too much second year in a row. They need another pass rusher. And also a guy that might be cheaper. They got to get a center because they thought it was going to be Justin Brett. And then it's Quisenberry filling in. They need a legitimate center who can kick butt in the run blocking like Tyler Linderbaum has done as a rookie. And you can get free agent tight ends, although Jordan Akins has been pretty damn good.
Yeah.
And but I would think the lines would be what you need the most. And safeties are always available. People don't pay big bucks for them as much. So if you wanted one to replace Jonathan Owens, you could get that guy in free agency too.
All right, a couple more, John. Matthew Kosecki says, it feels like one of the themes of the Texans in recent years is holdovers being kept through new regimes. Rick Smith stayed after Kubiak. Bill O'Brien stayed after Rick Smith. Jack Easterby and Tim Kelly stayed after O'Brien. Bubby Smith and Pep Hamilton stayed after David Culley, LOL, he says. Do you think it's possible that part of the problem is Cal McNair's relationships with certain people and sticks newly hired people with the people he likes instead of letting the new people build the staff independent of Cal's personal favorites?
Cal McNair is not involved in that stuff. He signs off on stuff. He goes by what his general manager wants to do because that's what he's paying him for.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And he doesn't go to dinner with his coaches and doesn't hang out in their offices with the coaches. He's got other things to do.
Charles in Pasadena, last one, John. The Jose Abreu signing, what do you think of it? And what move do you want next? You can only pick one. You get one more big move as general manager Jim Crane. What would that move be?
I like it. Last year, Yuli was terrible at the plate, an easy out. They had too many easy outs. Abreu had 300. He had the fewest home runs, but on every analytic I saw, he was really good at it. I saw one where he kills the Yankees. It gave his average homers, RBIs, OPS, everything. And Crane talked today about he threw out outfielder. Well, that would be a center fielder. Mm-hmm. They still need another catcher. That's important. But if they don't put a lot of emphasis on it like they did with Christian Vasquez, I think that they're going to re-sign Yuli, I think, for a one-year deal.
Yeah.
Unless somebody's crazy enough to pay him at 39, a two-year deal. But you need a designated hitter because Alvarez, they're talking about him playing left field. And if you add another outfielder, would it be Michael Brantley? He could DH. It's going to be a while before they know. But I would like to have, if it was one position, assuming they're going to still have Maldonado as their starting catcher, I want a center fielder who can cover a lot of ground, mm-hmm. or Alvarez in left field, and somebody can hit 275, drive in some runs, and hit some home runs. No offense to Chaz McCormick, but, I want him to get a center fielder.
Yeah, Well, emotionally, I'd like them to bring back Verlander. It sounds like, John, you're assuming Verlander's gone.
I'm assuming Verlander's gone.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you on that one. And I'm kind of okay with it if it means that they're spending the $40 million he would have cost on things like Jose Abreu and fill-in name of outfielder here. The one that intrigues me, because you mentioned catcher, is Wilson Contreras. The fact that Yordan Alvarez has revealed himself to be a decent left fielder really unlocks a lot of possibilities in free agency for this team. because now you've got DH where you can park guys and play them on days where they're, you know, that you can go sign Contreras and he can be your, I won't say full time, but like most of the time DH, and then back up Martin Maldonado on off days. You know what I mean? Like, and Jordan doesn't need to be a DH 120 games out of the year and just spell whoever in left field for 20 or 30 games. They're comfortable putting Jordan out there. He was a better hitter this year when he played defense in games than when he was just the DH. I think Contreras is a really interesting one because he's a really good hitter, John. And now all of a sudden you're talking about a lineup, because if you let him DH, you're talking about a lineup where it's Altuve, Peña, Jordan, Bregman, Tucker. I slide Abreu in at six, and then I guess Contreras at seven. Man. Keep Chaz in center field and let him bat eighth, and then Maldonado bat ninth. I mean, that is a really, really solid lineup.
But the only problem is Contreras wants to catch, and the Cardinals are interested in him. And there's another team that really needs a catcher that's good, that's interested in him. But you make a great point. That would be ideal. And then when Maldi's going to be 37 years old, you know, I've never seen a guy catch as much as he does at his age. So you think, okay, maybe this is last season as the main catcher. Then you'd have Contreras to do both in 2024. I think that'd be great if they could pull that off.
Oh, it'd be awesome. Hey, if you're Contreras, why do you want to catch so badly? It looks painful to crouch down all the time.
It sure does, doesn't it?
Get up and rake, man. Let them pay you $15, $20 million a year just to go rake, dude. Come on. All right.
You notice Crane said he's not afraid of the luxury tax.
Yeah, I saw that.
I think that's great. The problem is, you put that out there, you get everybody fired up about it, and then if you don't do it, people get really disappointed. Although people are not going to get very disappointed with the Astros. Abreu was a terrific move. He's 3 years younger than Yuli, and the fact that he kills the Yankees, that's good enough for me.
Absolutely. And Jim Crane being the owner of a team that's won two World Series in the last 6 years, that also good enough for me. So Crane still has immunity with me over criticizing him for much of anything lately.
You notice that he says he may not hire the GM till spring training. That means you're hiring a GM. It had nothing to do with any personnel decision in the offseason, which tells me it's just going to be somebody who's going to be basically another personnel guy.
Yep.
With Crane running the show.
I'm here for it. I'm fine with it. Cool. Hey, John, if this means he's just spending like a drunken sailor, let's go. Who cares? See how it goes.
Nobody's got any complaints what Jim Crane's done as the de facto GM. I like that he's relying on Bagwell.
Yeah.
Bagwell said there's no way he's going to be the GM, but he likes the role he's in right now. And he's got three assistant GMs as it is.
Yep.
And everything they've done so far, everybody's approved of. Can you imagine what it would be like if they actually re-signed Verlander? I don't think they will. He said they haven't talked lately. Verlander's meeting with Dodgers now. I just want Verlander out of the American League when he signs with another team. I hate to see the Dodgers or the Yankees. Let him go to the Mets and replace DeGrom.
Oh, yeah. I don't know, John. I'm kind of the opposite of you on that. Like, I wanted Correa to sign with Texas so we would see him 19 times a year. Like, I kind of like when these guys – like, I like that Cole signed with the Yankees because you get a couple games a year that are kind of fun, you know? I don't mind it. And who knows? He goes there, and if he stinks, then we get to see him stink up close, Verlander. That'd be fun.
You know what's funny to me about Verlander? All these people say, I was watching a Dodger guy last night on MLB Network saying, well, when you're an extra year removed from Tommy John, so next season he's going to be better. And I want to say, but he had the Tommy John surgery 2 years ago. This was his second year after. People say, oh, he missed a season with Tommy John. No, he missed two seasons.
Basically two.
For one start. I mean, that's 99% of the two seasons. So another way to look at Verlander, and I hope Crane does this, he had no wear and tear on his arm or his body for 2 years. So I don't think he's coming back, but, man, can you imagine if he did?
Oh, my God. If they made one more big signing in the everyday lineup and they brought Verlander back, John, holy smokes.
Would you rather have Verlander or Contreras?
Contreras. I think it's just the emotional part of me wants Verlander back because I love Justin Verlander, but the practical thing is, okay, if Lance is healthy again, which he seemed to be, Fromber is Fromber, Javier is Javier, and Urquidy and Garcia and Hunter Brown. I mean, it's really hard to, it's probably less money. I'm sure it's less money for Contreras than it is for Verlander. So you'd have a little dry powder to go make another move during the season sometime. The practical thing to do, if this were a video game, I'd say Contreras all day, but it's not. There's emotion involved, and it's really hard to, you know, if I get to pick one, are you telling me I can pick Justin Verlander? I'm actually going to pick this other guy, but the other guy makes a lot of sense just for what it's hard to say ailed this team. They won the damn World Series, but the bats went quiet a lot of times this year. For a team that's so good, they had some ebbs and flows with their offense this year.
Absolutely, they did.
All right, John, what do you got going on all your various platforms, my friend?
SportsRadio610.com. I'll have posted in the morning observations about the Texans. And Deshaun Watson and Lovie Smith, and then I'm going to write a Watson column on Wednesday for GallerySports.com. Thank you very much, Sean.
John, thank you. We thank Figgy Fig for getting this podcast out to all of you. We remind you, HOUmailbag@gmail.com is where you can go to send us your questions for the mailbag episode. We do it each and every week, and tomorrow we'll be back with a preview of this Sunday, a game that a lot of Texan fans have had circled on the calendar. Deshaun Watson making his debut as a Cleveland Brown at NRG Stadium. John and I will preview that one. We'll do a little for real or fugazi to take a look around the NFL in week 13 as well. For the Hall of Famer, John McClain, I'm Sean Pendergast. We are out of time. We will see you all tomorrow for the next episode of the Utopia Football Podcast. Thanks for listening, everybody.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.